a gift. Not that weddings are on my mind. For those of the Helping Up Mission, my oldest daughter is getting married this October 22nd in a few 20 days. This morning in 2 Corinthians 5, we see God freely giving us His grace for our salvation. But we also see our proper response as recipients to God's love. So the first Roman numeral point is God's love given. And letter A, first gifts He gives us is transformation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." The Apostle Paul paints in broad strokes. If anyone is in Christ, that is, if he or she has trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and has begun their journey, because He has awakened them from spiritual life to spiritual, from spiritual death to spiritual life, then we are new creatures. God has caused us to be born again and has given us the gift of faith in His Son, Jesus. We are new creatures, and God continually works in us with the gifts of sustaining our faith in Him and continually helping us to repent of our sins and believe the gospel. It is this persistent and persevering faith in the Lord which connects the beginning of our journey with God until the end of our lives or Christ's second coming, whichever comes first. And so we are new creatures in Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1, 3, and 4 says this about the effects of the glory of Christ's second advent with these words. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.'" All things in heaven will be made new at the end of the age. But we have a first taste, in hors d'oeuvres, you will, of that final kingdom. Now, as Christ gives us this new identity and even a renewed nature, a new heart to love and serve God and His Son, Jesus Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And our identity in Christ has preeminence and is above all else. It's above all identity we might have as a citizen of a country or a political party or any social issue or agenda. Christ is Lord of all. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us be satisfied with this new and all-encompassing identity that we are Christians. We don't need to add on any other adjectives to it. We are Christians. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So God's first gift to us is transformation. The second gift He gives to us is that of reconciliation. When Paul speaks of reconciliation, this passage, he means a divine gift to be received from God the Father through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20 says this, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God through the work of His Son on our behalf, so that while we were enemies of God, Christ was sent by God the Father into the world to bring about reconciliation, so that we can be adopted as God's children and friends with God and members of His family and of His kingdom. And so it's not that we initiated the reconciliation. God came to us. He came for us and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. So in Christ, we who were once far off, dead, and enemies of God have been brought near through the blood of Christ and His atoning death for us. That brings me to the third gift, and that is substitution. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." I interpret this verse sacrificially as made to be a sin offering. This draws on the Old Testament notion that God made the life of His servant a guilt offering in Isaiah 53. The equivalent Hebrew term can either mean sin or sin offering. Also, the logic of verse 19 demands it. If our debts are not posted to our account, it is because someone else has legally assumed them, as much as the scapegoat did on the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16, or as the other offerings did on other occasions in the Old Testament. This is why God made friendship with us possible who were otherwise enemies. So closely did Christ identify with the plight of humanity that their sin has been placed on Christ. This states the same reality that we hear in 1 Peter 2:24, that Christ Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, the cross of Calvary. Paul may also be thinking of, again, of Isaiah 53, verse 12, where the servant of the Lord is to be numbered with the transgressors and bear the sin of many. In this blessed exchange, our sin is placed upon Christ, and through Christ, His righteousness is given to us by the grace and the mercy of God. And so God gives us transformation, He gives us substitution, He gives us reconciliation. Having been the recipients of this grace, now we show the effects of God's love for us. So my second Roman numeral is God's love received. And the first effect, letter A, we live for God. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15 says this, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all so that they may no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf." In gratitude for what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in His life, death, and resurrection, we live to please the Lord. We live for His glory and not our selfish desires. The Apostle Paul plainly tells us in this passage that Christ died for us and rose again for our behalf. A second effect and consequence of having been a recipient of God's love is that we spread the good news of God's love. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." The nature of Paul's appointment was to serve as one of Christ's ambassadors. The Greek word actually means to be an elder or a first in rank. Here we must think of the role of the statesman, where age and rank go together. Then as now, an ambassador was someone who represented the interests of his or her nation abroad. And so he wasn't serving in the land of his homeland. He was serving in a foreign country, but representing, in our case, for instance, the interests of the United States. In the Old Testament, the range of duties of an ambassador included offering congratulations, soliciting favors, making alliances, and protesting wrongful actions. The Roman counterpart to the Greek presbyter or elder was the legate, who was duly appointed by the emperor to administer the imperial provinces on his behalf. And so the language of ambassador ought to remind us as Christians that this world is not our final home. Our highest form of citizenship is in the kingdom of God. And so we dwell in a foreign land. And we ought not to be surprised as if someone looks at us as Christians as if we have two heads or we're foreigners, because we are. But we represent the last and enduring and everlasting kingdom. Paul was similarly appointed by God to administer the gospel on Christ's behalf. It is as though God himself were making a personal and direct appeal through Paul. The word ambassador occurs metaphorically in the New Testament two times, here in 2 Corinthians 5 and also Ephesians 6:20, where it's applied to the representative of Christ in carrying out his message of reconciliation. Ephesians 6:19 and 20 says this, "And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Well, an ambassador may be viewed as a specially gifted office such as that of an apostle or even a present-day pastor. The role of every Christian is to live out and proclaim in word and deed the message of Jesus Christ. An offering of bread to the spiritually hungry, pardon to the sinner, spiritual healing to the spiritually sick, and a gift of life, eternal life, to those who are spiritually dead. The gospel message of Jesus Christ is this message that we are to share with everyone who has ears to hear. The application of this message of the gospel is that we are to believe this message, to live in conformity with this message, and to spread this message from the housetops. Come on, brothers and sisters in Christ. If we brag about restaurants that we've been to like they've got a good deal, why wouldn't we brag about Jesus, who is the bread of life unto everlasting life forever and ever? May his name be praised. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have granted the precious gift of your holy word and the gift of eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Assist us with the Holy Spirit, that the same word may be written in our hearts to our everlasting comfort, that it may reform us and renew us according to your image, to build us up and to edify us into the perfect dwelling place of your Son, sanctifying and increasing us in all heavenly virtues. Grant this, O Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.